This is not a test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ.
It is August 11th. It is the one-year anniversary of the suicide death of Robin Williams. Shocking news last summer that came down that people couldn't believe. Then stories coming out more about personal life, battles that he was dealing with different types of substance abuse and depression. We're joined this morning by Adele Ryan McDowell, who's a PhD, also a practicing psychotherapist and former crisis hotline responder for more than 30 years. She's written a book called Making Peace with Suicide, a book of hope, understanding, and comfort. Adele, thank you for joining us. Appreciate your time today.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here, especially today. Thank you, Bruce.
Now tell me, you were doing this for many years on a crisis hotline, helping people who face crisis and trauma and grief. What brought you to the point where you thought, I need to put this into a book to share it with everyone to get some information out there?
Well, it's usually the personal, isn't it? A colleague of mine, a fellow psychologist, took her life by suicide, and I thought, wow. And I wrote an article, and one day I'm doing dishes at the kitchen sink, and that little voice says, you need to write a book. And from there, I started interviewing, and 3 years later, there was a book.
Now, the book is called A Book of Hope, Understanding, and Comfort. It's kind of divided up into some of those different areas. What hope do you find out of suicide? What comes out of that you can talk about the hope part of it?
Well, I think the hope part is the more we understand, right, the more we can help people who are suicidal. And people is us, because everyone has held the thought, they either know someone who has been suicidal, attempted it, or unfortunately lost their life, or even they've held the thought in the abstract. They've been in a terrible place. Also, people who have lost someone to suicide, the judgment around that, even the judgment. I interviewed a woman who was in years ago in a hospital in Ohio after a suicide attempt. She was in her teenage years, had attempted suicide after a lot of sexual abuse, and it was not her first attempt, but the first one that got her in the hospital. And she said she and the other women were discussing that if they had, now this is many years ago, access to a gun, that would give them a way out. And later walks onto the ward a woman who has a big black X in her forehead, and she had attempted suicide with a gun. And the stories that this woman told me about how they were treated in this particular hospital by nursing staff of being suicidal, people are very judgmental of those who attempt to take their lives or do take their lives, and family members. Family members are blamed. And we think of Robin Williams' daughter, Zelda, removed herself from social media last year, and she did a few weeks ago this year around the anniversary of her dad's death, because of the terrible things people wrote. So I think we the hope is having some understanding. The hope is knowing that if you do unfortunately lose someone in such a devastating way, you can get through it, you can walk through that. It's a hero's journey of the complicated grief and the trauma to find a place of peace.
You talk about some steps, I guess, to make peace with suicide. Could you review some of those, and how'd you come up with some of those thoughts?
Well, a lot of years of talking to people in the consultation room, a lot of crisis hotlines, and just the path for all of us. You know, the first thing is we have to accept. You know, sometimes when you hear shocking news, you don't want to accept it. No, that couldn't possibly be true. That didn't happen. Even around Robin Williams' death, I mean, originally the tabloids were writing it was a murder. You know, I actually read the coroner's report. It was not a murder. And the man, Robin Williams, did have, that came out later, Lewy body, which are certain proteins that indicate a dementia associated with Parkinson's. I'm sorry, I got myself lost. Tell me the question again.
Well, related to the part about making peace with suicide. I mean, it's...
Okay, so the steps are acceptance, forgiveness, and compassion. Those are the three basic healing components. In the book, I have a 7-step process. But if first we have to accept, and that also, part of that acceptance means that we include that we're not responsible. You know, when you lose someone to suicide, you think, oh, my gosh, what could I have done differently? I could have said this. Maybe I should have responded that way. And we carry it to heart, and we think we should have done something. And forgiveness is not only forgiving them for making a choice in that moment that you don't understand, or you think, didn't I love you enough? Why did you do this? But forgiving them, because at that moment, whatever the circumstances, the stressors, the trauma, they felt at that moment, it was their answer. And that you are not responsible. So you accept that, and then the forgiveness of yourself and for your other one, and for your lost loved one, of what has transpired. And then compassion. You know, compassion is opening our heart and looking at things with, okay, you know, let's look at this. Compassion, not judgment, is the only response to suicide. That is the only response. And if we keep judging, suicide will go, you know, it goes underground. People won't talk about it. One woman told me she lost her dad to suicide and has told everybody it was a heart attack because she didn't want them to know anything else. And she didn't, you know, she just couldn't deal with their reaction. Another woman told me that her daughter went back to school and the teachers avoided her when she lost her brother. The daughter lost her brother and the mother lost her son. This mom went to work and they said to her at work, well, if you weren't working, your son would still be alive. And she said to me, I knew they were trying to be helpful, but it wasn't helpful, right? The understanding that there's a whole lot of pain out there. World Health Organization will tell us that around the globe, on average, there is a suicide every 40 seconds. That's a lot of pain.
Why do you, is it on a increase? Are we just knowing more? Is there just that we're more interconnected so we hear more stories? Because as even in the past, suicide, unless you knew that person firsthand or, you know, you would know what it is. Otherwise, it's just a, you know, sudden death or whatever. It's not something that's usually reported in a greater sense. What do we know about the numbers or the increase or where does it stand related to previous decades?
Well, the numbers are on the rise. They're definitely on the rise. But they're on the rise for a lot of reasons, Jen. And you look at, we have a lot of suicide by economic crisis, right? I believe it's Italy, Greece, and Ireland over the last few years, as a result of the economic crises, started suicide hotlines. You've seen farmers in India whose crops fail because of droughts or GMO crops. You have seen, there was a story out of the Irish newspapers, I think it was the Irish Times, about the number of men who had, the number was appalling. It was super high, and unfortunately I can't recall it now, but it was something like 50-some-odd percent of men who, during the economic crisis, had taken their lives because they had lost their jobs, they had no wherewithal. You have a lot more bullying that we know about and cyberbullying, right? And we've seen suicides as a result of that. We have a lot of war and trauma and death. 22 deaths a day take their lives in this country. 22 deaths. You know, so you see more of that, too. There's that the world is faster. There's certainly more stressors. And as a result of that, we're seeing more suicide because people feel like they get to a place with no choice or no option.
We're talking today with Dr. Adele Ryan McDowell, author of Making Peace with Suicide, a book of hope, understanding, and comfort. What about the prevention part of it, that type of thing? We talk sort of now with the people left behind, how they're dealing with it. What about the people that might be in crisis, or if you know somebody or yourself? What kind of things can you help us maybe to steer it in a different direction?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I think there are a couple of tips. One, pay attention and listen to what your loved ones are saying, because the majority of people who take their lives have said some comment prior to doing it. And maybe it's been said in a smart alecky kind of way, you know. You'll be sorry when I'm dead and gone, or I can't go on any longer. But that's one of the things. You take those comments seriously. The other thing is you watch behavior. You know, if somebody is withdrawing, if somebody is inordinately using drugs or alcohol, do you know if somebody has recently purchased a gun or they're stockpiling meds? You know, you have they've gotten what I call an FU attitude, right? They're just mad at the world and they're mad at everything and no one can get near them. Or are they preoccupied with death or dying or suicide? We especially see this in our young people. They're writing poetry and song lyrics about death and dying, right? They're, one woman I have been working with the last few months, you know, in the middle of the night, she's up on the internet and she's trolling for ways to take her life, you know. And then you look to see if their thinking is skewed, you know, has it become very tight and black and white, you know, they're hopeless and it's circular thinking. It doesn't make sense. Also, people have extreme long-lasting anxiety and are not sleeping. If you have a loved one who is not sleeping, it is thinking can get so skewed and they can cut. What I say to my clients, you go out on a limb, you know, and I want to bring you back in. You're not safe out there. Because it's a dangerous place. It's a very dangerous place to be. And unfortunately, if you do know someone who is suicidal or in trouble, you have to, one, you know, establish safety. If that's the situation, and establish safety, that's the first thing you have to do. So if they need to be in the ER, or if it's like, all right, will you, you know, put down whatever? Would you agree not to do anything? Then you're going to listen. You're not expected to know all the answers. You just need to listen to hear what they have to say and listen with compassion. And then do what I call insert a pause, right? You want to change the trajectory and the momentum. All right, so what are our resources? What can we do here? And then you expand the circle of support, and that can include calling professionals or other loved ones. And there's also the National Suicide Hotline, and that number is 1-800-273-8255, 1-800-273-8255, and that's a 24/7 line. And, you know, there is help out there for anybody who is looking for it.
Now, you've worked, in a sense, with a crisis hotline. Is that a case where you just become a sort of neutral voice that provides some of the same information that I as a loved one might, but because of the history between myself and the other person, there may not be that same sort of belief. They call somebody else, a total stranger in regards in that, to kind of get that same advice?
We obviously, you get trained to work on a hotline, right? And you know how to answer certain things and look at certain things. My work on the hotline was many years ago, and at that time it was pre-GPS and everything else. We actually traced the calls to bring people in off of bridges or high parking structures or what have you and have them assessed. People need connection. You know, I have a working theory that there are three common elements of suicide, and one is pain of any and all kind, and two is disconnection. And they might have loved ones that their perception is. Did you see Bradley Cooper in the movie American Sniper? And in the film, he's come home, and he's sitting in a bar, and it's just last tour of duty, and he calls his wife, and she goes, "Where are you?" He says, "I'm home." She goes, "What do you mean you're home? Why aren't you here with us?" And he said, "I needed a minute," right? It's that feeling distant and separated, especially the men and women who come home from war. It is such a different life when they're involved in that. And I've talked to a number of vets, and they come home and inserting themselves back into regular life as much as they want to, it's a very, very difficult transition. And I also think people feel disenfranchised, which is that disconnection to the nth degree. If you don't feel like you have any value or worth, you've got your nose pressed to the glass looking at the world thinking you don't belong. So you want to foster connection. Connection is really, really important. And connection means we don't know all the answers. We just listen and say, "Listen, I'm sorry you're in this much pain. But, you know, let's take a minute. Let's figure out what we can do here. You know, what would be helpful? You know, are you sleeping? Have you managed to have something to eat? You know, are you somebody who takes your meds? Do you need to take your meds? You know, but not you have to, whatever. Let's just listen and see what we can do." Because I think if anybody calls, there's a part of them reaching out saying, "I don't want to do this," because suicide is not a cowardly act. If I were to put a pillow over your face right now, you would fight me because our instinct is to fight for life. And I think it's a lot of pain that gets someone to that place that thinks suicide is the answer.
The book is called Making Peace with Suicide, a book of hope, understanding, and comfort. Our guest today has been Dr. Adele Ryan McDowell. Adele, thanks for sharing the stories. People can, in the book obviously has other different stories. Maybe they can see similarities to things in their life or their past that really can help them out. Again, we appreciate your time this morning and sharing some of the personal information today.
Thank you so much for having me, Bruce. Take good care.